Welcome to the Spotlight with Sean Taylor podcast, Pizza Month edition. October is National Pizza Month, and I, Sean Taylor, am on my fifth annual mission to eat a slice of pizza a day at 31 different locations with at least one witness. This podcast is an audio log of my quest for the 31 days of pizza. Today was day 13 of Pizza Month 2006, and I went to Frank Pepe's. I met up with
Rylan Morrison,
Matthew DeCoster,
Judy DeCoster,
and
Paul DeCoster.
And I ordered two slices of bacon, one slice of cheese, and one sliver of clam. It is day 13, Friday, October 13th. That's right, Friday the 13th. And me and Rylan Morrison are in the New Haven train station, right next to a flipboard. What do you call those?
Train information schedule flipboard's good.
Yeah, because it flips. The pizzas just arrived, and they are a clam pizza and a bacon and cheese pizza. And the bacon and cheese pizza, very shiny, but those are full slices of bacon on there, isn't it? And you can see that it's been charred on the crust from the coal-fired ovens. And the clam pizza, which I've been told is like originated here at Frank Pepe's, is cut in a very interesting manner. Well, you said it's not Chicago style and it's not standard style. It's looks like breadsticks almost. So it probably does pretty conducive to pulling it off and eating just a little portion of it, which is great because that's what I want of the clam pizza. I want to try it out and then move on to the bacon, which has a pretty thick crust and very evenly distributed toppings, I think. No center loading there. And it's served on cookie sheets, even though it's round pizza. I think that's... Well, it just smells so good, I just want to eat it. Oh yeah, the clam pizza has no tomato sauce on it at all. And just has clams on it. No cheese on it either. So it's a clam on flatbread and garlic on it too. The other one does have sauce underneath the cheese. And very shiny. We just finished our pizza, and I ate two slices of bacon, one slice of cheese, and one slice of clam, or one sliver of clam. It was delicious. I can see why Matt DeCoster's been telling me for 3 years now to make the trek up to New Haven. It was a good choice. I really enjoyed it. I think that the consistency... with the crust was something I've never had before, which is it's like almost like a cracker beneath it, but it's not as crumbly as a cracker or as brittle. It's instead keeps its shape, but you can hold it straight out and it will stand horizontal without a problem. All the toppings, no problem, it won't fall off. The bacon was delicious in itself. It was like fresh cooked bacon or just draped on top of the bacon slice. The clam slice, which I'd never had before, came without any sauce and cheese, but it didn't need it. It seemed like they knew that like the combination of the crust with the clams and the garlic, and maybe some other spices, Italian spices, was enough. And apparently that is the favorite pizza of one of my guests. It's Matt DeCoster's mom. Is the clam pizza your favorite pizza?
Yep, that's the favorite.
How long ago did you try it for the first time?
Great.
So it's been a while. How did tonight's pizza, the clam pizza we ordered here, how did that compare to the way it usually tastes?
Not enough clams.
So usually there's more clams and... I don't know. Is it otherwise though? Is consistency wise and topping wise?
Yeah, it's very, very good.
What is your favorite pizza here, Mr. DaCosta?
I like the bacon.
It's a pretty good one. Is the bacon slice today the way it typically is?
I think so. I don't think they ever change anything in this place.
And this place, you've been coming here then for a little while?
50 years.
50?
50.
That's pretty impressive. How has the interior of the place changed?
Not one bit.
They
painted it.
They put on wallpaper.
Oh, no, it's terrible. They put on wallpaper, but the booths are exactly the same.
So that was kind of funny to be like, it's exactly the same, and then you both look around, and you're like, oh, wow, they changed the wallpaper. They painted it.
You know the story of the midget in the pictures?
I don't know him.
No, there's a picture of a midget in a photo.
Our founder came from in Sicily.
That's right, yeah.
But I'm not sure where exactly.
So that the Frank Pepe lived in Sicily?
He's a Sicilian. Well, pizza.
So they call it a Neapolitan pizzeria.
Bay of Naples. I take it all back.
But this is a Neapolitan dish.
And Neapolitan typically means that it is circular. It also means thin and thin. Yep, tomato pie. They even have a sign here that calls it tomato pie.
That's correct.
Ryland, this is your first time at Frank Pepe's, right? If in New Haven, would you come back?
Yeah.
What was your favorite slice that you had tonight?
I was resistant to the bacon because I called it the heart attack special, but then I had it.
Yeah, that makes it. Oh, you ended up having a slice even after you self
yeah.
claimed it.
I do that a lot. Heart attack. Where I like judge things and then I like it.
maybe you waited till we ate it and we didn't have a heart attack and it was like, all right.
You're the test guinea pigs.
Guinea pigs. That's a pun. Talking about a bacon slice, right? Although guinea pig is not really a pig. Should be though. I wonder how I got that name.
Cheese. I like them all. I tried them all.
Did you ever have a guinea pig or a hamster growing up?
Uh-huh.
What'd you have?
I had a hamster.
What was his name?
Potemkin.
Potemkin? Is it named after the Battleship Potemkin film?
It was named after... No, I just made it up.
You just named up the name Potemkin.
It wasn't... It's not the same.
Not being... you were unaware
not
that...
Not Potemkin.
Oh, Potemkin is the name of the... Oh, it was very close to the name of Eisenstein's most famous editing piece.
I got him on Valentine's Day, and he died on prom night.
Oh, wait a minute. So Valentine's Day to prom, that's about 2 or 3 months?
Yeah, 5 months.
5 months? Yeah, well, in hamster years, that might be... That might be like... I don't know when prom is either, because it's different for different schools, right?
He was a miniature hamster.
Mm-hmm. Miniature hamster. I mean, they're all pretty small, but...
Well, I killed my kindergarten's guinea pig.
How?
Matt killed a guinea pig?
Well, I don't know if I killed it, but it died while it was in my custody.
Oh, was it one of those things? You all raise it, and then everyone takes it home for a weekend, and then when under your...
Did you do it? Did you do anything to it?
I don't remember doing anything
to it. It just died when it was in the cage?
I recall... It being dead and my father unceremoniously dumping it in the garbage and then having to fish it out when the Christian school wanted to have a proper funeral.
Really?
Oh, no.
Well, I put mine in a shoebox on the roof. I lived on McDougal Street in Manhattan.
Wow, that's a good street.
And I put him in a shoebox with the intention to bury him Washington Square Park. But by the time that I had time to go get him again and go bury him, squirrels or pigeons had gotten to him.
Oh, no.
And he was gone. He was gone out of the box.
Were there bones left?
No. He was completely... His whole body was gone.
Wow. So... Mr. DaCosta, do you recall when Matt DaCosta had the guinea pig die?
Yes.
Did he show any remorse?
No.
He didn't seem to mind that it died on his watch?
No, I don't think he think about anything about it.
Because we had once hatched a chicken we incubated a chicken egg in our whole class. We all incubated our own chicken eggs, and only two of them hatched. So we took turns taking it home for a weekend. And during my weekend, my little sister squeezed it. And then it started walking funny. And I was like, oh no. But my fear was not that, like, you know, it might have all this internal bleeding or dying, but that it might die on my watch. Because then I would have to go back to this class. It's like, not only did my egg not hatch, but when I was finally given the one the egg that did hatch, it died on my watch. But it turned out it lived through the weekend. I gave it back, and it died the next weekend. But I showed remorse.
It felt good. As long as it wasn't on your watch.
I think I was sad that the guinea pig died.
You did? You did?
What was his name?
Popo.
Popo.
Buried under an oak tree in Riverside.
What? Annoying the hell out of me.
From the
I put this damn guinea pig in the garbage pail, and he called up a teacher and said, Popo has had it, and she said, you must bring him back so that the children can experience death.
Oh, scraping him off the paper plate that you used.
So I went back and I got the rubber gloves back on. I went down to the garbage pail and fished him out of the garbage. He was stiff as a board.
Oh man.
Wait, how many days after?
Same day. Okay. And I put him in a paper bag in a little box, and we took the bus the next day up to Riverside Church, which is where we were.
You were just afraid somebody was going to confront you.
That's right. And with Matthew and his brother, and we went into the classroom, and I said to the teacher, here's Popo. And she had already planned a sermon. I mean, they had a big ceremony. They went right across the street and buried him in the, you're probably not familiar with an oak grove that's just in front of Grant's tomb.
Wow.
So Popo was buried about 200 yards from Grant.
Nice neighbors, wow. Popo has it good. Who's buried in Popo's tomb?
He's buried in Popo's tomb. Okay. I've killed more than one turtle.
On purpose?
Ain't fed him too much.
No, that was the fish.
The greedy little bastards will eat until they drop dead. Somebody told me that.
That's the fish.
The fish do that too, yeah. That's right.
Oh, you overfed the fish?
Overfed the fish.
And overfed the turtle too?
Overfed
no,
the
no,
turtle.
The turtle got stuck under a rock and died.
Drowned.
Aw.
That's it.
I didn't even know they held their breath.
Oh, they can hold their breath a long time.
I thought they breathed underwater. Guess
no,
not.
No. They're not amphibians.
Wow, see? Pizza day, you learn a lot.
I'll tell you something funny, interesting that we did see yesterday in New York City. We were driving along 54th Street, and I pointed out to Judy, my wife, that there was an elderly Chinese woman who had a giant tortoise that she was leading by a leash.
She went and took the tortoise for a walk?
She took the tortoise
for a walk. And this high, and kind of brown, and I looked at the tortoise, and I looked at the woman at the other end of the leash, and they looked just alike.
Pets and their owners always look alike.
Yeah, well, I mean, taking a tortoise for a walk must take forever.
It's a leisurely activity.
She got it.
Yes, I saw.
Well, how do you get that going? Where was the leash? Around its neck? What if it goes in?
I didn't see the leash.
Oh, no, she had it on her leash.
Well, a leash is so it won't run away. I don't think that Thor doesn't run away.
Okay, that's probably true. Actually, this took place very close to where the theater is that the Daily Show was in. Remember that in 54th Street?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe she was on the show.
She was a handler.
A handle.
I saw a, when I was working in Pittsburgh, I saw a woman walk a pot-bellied pig.
Yay.
Around on
I've
a leash.
That.
Hey, now we're back to the regular old pig, which is what was on the pizza.
I just ate tonight.
Well, I thank you guys very much for coming and joining me for pizza.
Well, now we are going to take a tour of... What time is your train?
Wait, what time is the train?
I think there's a train like at like 9:15.
You want to get that train? If you do, we have
a hopefully, yeah.
Well, then we better get moving.
We better hustle. Who wants their pizza to go anyway?
Thank you for tuning in to the Spotlight with Sean Taylor podcast, Pizza Month edition. Please stay subscribed and follow me in my quest for the 31 days of pizza. If you like this podcast and are in the New York City area, please come to my show this Wednesday. It's the debut of my talk show, and I'd love to meet you. It's also a free show, so please call 212-244-8824 and reserve your space at the Spotlight with Sean Taylor.